from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. Earlier this week, Israel celebrated its 70th year of independence, and that celebration happened to coincide with Family Research Council's trip to the Holy Land. All this week, Tony broadcast from Israel, and we're going to share some of those highlights today. A little later on in the show, Senator James Lankford will be joining us to talk about the 20th anniversary of the International Religious Freedom Act. Also, Chris Mitchell, who is the Middle East Bureau Chief for CBN News, joins us to talk about Israel's 70th anniversary celebration. But first, Pastor Andrew Brunson, an American pastor on trial for his Christian faith in Turkey, was sent back to prison on Monday following a hearing. Pastor Brunson, who ran a Protestant church in the western city of Izmir, has been detained by Turkish authorities since October 2016. If convicted, he could face up to 35 years in prison. Joining us now is Ambassador Sam Brownback, who was at the hearing in Istanbul.
Ambassador Brownback, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Appreciate the chance to be able to join you. I was at the hearing yesterday with Senator Tom Tillis out of North Carolina. Lengthy hearing, disappointing outcome, but this fight's far from over.
Well, this has sent a clear message, I think, to the Turkish officials, and certainly I think it sends a message to the global community that religious freedom is a top priority for the Trump administration.
No, it absolutely is. President Trump has raised this with President Erdogan. It's been communicated at that level. It's been communicated by the vice president, by the secretary of state. And then Senator Tillis and I were both in the courtroom yesterday and very hopeful yesterday that he was going to be released and allowed to fly home and they'd continue the trial. Well, they didn't do that. And not only that, they returned him to the first prison he was in where he, Pastor Brunson, had great difficulties. So I was meeting with Turkish officials today, a deputy prime minister, people in the foreign affairs ministry about you've got to get him in a better condition and that this is wrong and that there are serious consequences to the U.S.-Turkish relationship centered around what happens to Pastor Brunson.
Is there a sense that maybe they realize now that this is a kind of a new administration or the Trump administration returning a priority on religious freedom and American citizens, you know, over there innocently doing missions work or serving the people of Turkey, being falsely accused of being aligned with an Islamic terrorist organization?
I think they understand the importance there. I think. What I hope is starting to drive through to them is that this isn't going to be just something that we will just talk about, that there are going to be serious consequences to the relationship. And plus, Tony, there was a charge in this one that I haven't known of or seen before. Maybe others have. But they had basically charged Pastor Brunson with undermining the government by trying to Christianize the Kurdish people. Basically, if you're a missionary, you can be charged with acts of treason towards a government. And, you know, I've seen blasphemy laws, which I'm certainly against, and many people and other issues, but not that sort of charge. And I raised that with the officials as well, that this is a wrong trajectory to go for religious freedom. I mean, a country like Turkey that historically has provided quite a bit of tolerance for religious minorities.
Right, and I was talking with Congressman Mark Walker earlier. I mean, they're a NATO country. They're an ally of ours. This certainly is going to strain that relationship.
It does, and it has. And it really doesn't make much sense. Andrew Brunson is innocent. I spent quite a bit of time visiting with his wife, and their work has been wonderful work from the heart, and they've done work to help people at disadvantage and that were harmed in various places. They believe in Turkey. They don't want Turkey to be undermined as a government or to be fractured as a nation. I mean, they don't. And yet to be charged with that and then held in the prison for a year and a half and then these false charges, but we're going to keep the pressure on and aggressively so.
Well, Ambassador Brownback, I want to thank you for the update. We obviously will be tracking this, and when you get back to the States and I get back, we'll follow back up on this.
Well, look forward to it. Have a great time in Israel. What a wonderful place.
It is. Looking forward to the Independence Day celebration coming up this week. Ambassador Sam Brownback, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll be tracking this, as I said, very, very closely.
If you want to find out more about Ambassador Brownback, head on over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, I want to invite you to be a part of keeping Washington Watch on the air by going to TonyPerkins.com and making a contribution. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with a look at Israel's independence celebration.
Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. In the shadow of conflict with Iran, violence in Syria, and tensions with Russia, Israel celebrated 70 years of independence on Wednesday. Joining Tony to talk about this historic celebration was Chris Mitchell, the Middle East Bureau Chief for CBN News.
Chris, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, great to be with you. I'm actually right in the middle of the old city right now in Jerusalem.
Well, I know we're going to be together later in the week, and so look forward to that. But this is quite a big deal here in Israel today. Not only is it Independence Day, but it's the 70th year of independence.
It is. It's a huge deal for them. And if you look back, as you said, back in 1948, there was about 600,000 in the state of Israel. And when David Ben-Gurion declared it down in Tel Aviv on May 14th, 1948, now more than tenfold, I would say, and it's become a powerhouse in the Middle East militarily, economically, diplomatically, and people, despite the fact that right after they declared the nation, five Arab armies attacked them, nearly destroyed them, but they actually gained territory. And here we are 70 years later, and they have done, it's really can be described best as a miracle, and that's exactly what the Michael Oren, the former Israeli ambassador to the U.S., described it to us just a little while ago.
Well, and Chris, I should mention that for our listeners, that the day before, which actually their day starts at sundown.
That's right.
Today, during the day, earlier today, was Memorial Day, which then gives way at sundown to Independence Day. And what I thought was fascinating is I went out on the streets 11 o'clock this morning. The air raid sirens, the sirens blew for 2 minutes, and everyone stopped what they were doing. I thought it was fascinating. I was on the street. Cars stopped. People got out of their cars and stood at basically attention for 2 minutes to pay tribute to those who have been a part of not only reestablishing, I should say, this country, but protecting it over these last 70 years.
Yeah, and last night they had a siren for a minute, and as you said, this morning for 2 minutes, and literally the whole country stops to remember those that have paid the full measure of devotion. They gave their lives for the Jewish state, and now in just probably a little over a couple of hours, they're going to be going from mourning actually to celebration, and they're going to be celebrating their independence after 70 years. And it's hard to remember for the United States, we kind of separate our Memorial Day and our Independence Day, but
right
here they put it right together, and it really is a special moment. And 70 years is quite something that they have survived. You know, the five Arab armies attacked them and wanted to destroy them. And here we are. You alluded to it earlier. Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, is threatening Israel almost on a daily basis to wipe it off the map. And yet Israel continues to survive.
I want to get your sense, Chris Mitchell, from what you're hearing in Israel, the fact that the embassy is going to move, and I, at this point, planning to be back in Israel for that occurrence. How are people responding to that here in Israel?
Well, we went down to what's called Mahane Yehuda. That's Jerusalem's largest open-air market. We talked to people on the streets there, and I think they were kind of excited and ecstatic that the United States would actually go ahead and take the bold move that many U.S. presidents had promised for almost 20 years or more and actually move the U.S. embassy. And it's creating somewhat of a move by other nations, Guatemala for one, that is saying they're going to move their embassy as well. So I think Israelis are quite excited about what President Trump has done to move the embassy to Jerusalem and recognize Jerusalem, the place where I'm standing right now, as Israel's capital, as it has been for 3,000 years since back to King David.
Yeah, President Jimmy Morales in Guatemala, actually, we met with him in Guatemala City and actually have followed up in communication with them. And they are planning as well to move their embassy, I think, 2 days after, maybe the day after the United States
That's
moves
right.
its embassy to Jerusalem. I think it is important what you just said. This is Jerusalem has long been seen as the capital of Israel. And I think one of the things to underscore with our listeners, yes, Israel celebrates its 70th anniversary, but it's the only nation that went out of existence 1,900 years prior, recreated, same the Hebrew tongue that is reestablished. I mean, this is quite, as you said earlier, a miracle. It is a miracle mm-hmm. that this nation came back into existence. And it is hard, short of explaining it, with taking into consideration literally the hand of God at work. Without that, it's hard to explain how it happened.
Exactly, Tony. And we did a story on today's 700 Club. We did a story in a book called Israel Rising. It's done by Doug Hershey, and I would recommend it to anyone. And what they did is they took the black and white pictures from the late 1880s and on to 1940s. They took the black and white pictures, and then they went today and took the very same picture from the very same angle. And if you see what happens in maybe over 100 years, you just see this dramatic change taking place within Israel, within Tel Aviv and Haifa, and certainly in Jerusalem, where the land has blossomed, the desert has bloomed. And what his contention is, he looks at Ezekiel 36, chapter 36, where it says that almost the land itself would blossom when its people come back. And here we have, in the last 150 years, this exodus of people coming back to the land. They were dispersed 2,000 years ago, and the land itself is really blooming. And if you see the before and after pictures, it's really like a literal prophecy unfolding before your very eyes.
Yeah, that's interesting. I remember reading a quote from Mark Twain when he visited what was then called Palestine in 1867. And here is actually the description he provided of his visit here. It says, desolate country whose soil is rich enough, but is given over wholly to weeds, a silent, mournful expanse. A desolation is here that not even imagination can grace with the pomp of life and action. We never saw a human being on the whole route. There was hardly a tree or a shrub anywhere. Even the olive and the cactus, those fast friends of the worthless soil, had almost deserted the country. That land today is, as you said, prosperous, not only feeding their own citizens, but literally providing resources to this whole region of the country.
Exactly. And it's interesting, you quote Mark Twain from his book, Innocence Abroad. That's exactly how we started our story, that it was a desolate and mournful land. And not only is it blooming, but it's also a startup nation. It's providing technological breakthroughs in agriculture and medicine and so many different ways. And so it is helping its own population and helping others. And one other thing, Tony, that we're doing right now, CBN's doing a documentary called To Life, and it chronicles Israel's humanitarian efforts to the world, how Israeli volunteers are changing the world. And many times they're the first responders in earthquakes like Nepal and Mexico. And they have innovation going into Africa to help the undeveloped areas there. And so it really has become, in many ways, and this is what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said when we interviewed, we asked him a question one time, Israel really is becoming a light to the nations.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Chris Mitchell, my guest. He is the Middle East Bureau Chief for CBN News here in the Middle East. He's headquartered in Jerusalem, and he joins us today by phone as we're just another part of the country. So Chris, is the Israelis celebrate their independence, and they're looking forward, to what's ahead. You know, there was a time maybe 15, 20 years ago where there was a thought that maybe peace would come to this region. Have they pretty much resolved that this is going to be the ongoing environment in which they live, that they're just going to have to, the only way they're going to have peace is through strength and being able to defend themselves?
Well, they have hope, Tony. In fact, I remember in 2006, I was up on the border between Lebanon and Israel, and I was talking to some reservists. The second Lebanon war was literally going on just over the border, and they were saying they want to fight so that their sons don't have to fight. Well, here we are 12 years later, and I'm sure many of those sons are probably in uniform right now. And I think in some ways, Israelis are resigned to the fact that war is something they have to deal with, and their Israeli defense forces are something they have to continue to have on the ready all the time, 24/7, 365 years. So the helicopter going overhead right now. But I think they do have to do that, and they resign to that. But on the other hand, I think they continue to go forward, and they continue to build their nation. And as we said, it's really, despite all the threats that it surrounds it, has become a miracle.
It is, in fact, a miracle. Chris Mitchell, thanks so much for joining us. Look forward to seeing you in just a couple of days.
Sounds great, Tony.
If you want to find out more about Chris Mitchell and CBN News, just head on over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, and you can donate when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We'll be right back with a look at another important anniversary.
Where is our country headed? Are we moving in the right direction? Mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. and join hundreds of Americans that want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, House Speaker Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Kellyanne Conway, Secretary Ben Carson, and Sean Hannity. Don't miss the early bird price of $99 at valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Along with Israel's 70th anniversary, Wednesday also marked another important date, the 20th anniversary of the passage of the International Religious Freedom Act. Joining Tony now is longtime friend of Family Research Council, Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma.
Senator Lankford, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, absolutely great to be with you again.
Well, thank you, and it's good to hear your voice, and let's talk about this issue today. I know you you're making remarks regarding the 20th anniversary. Why is it important from a policy standpoint as a nation that we focus on religious freedom in our foreign policy?
You know, we take for granted religious freedom in the United States, but we forget what a revolution that really was in the founding of our nation. Most countries around the world at that point, 240 years ago, did not believe this would ever work. You had to have the monarch or the leader dictate to the population what the faith would be, because they assumed that if people had multiple faiths, you'd have division in the country and you'd have wars and riots, and so you had to suppress that. We had this incredible democracy that was created, this representative republic that anchored on not establishing a religion, but also allowing individuals to live their faith, to not just have a faith, but to be able to choose their faith and to live their faith as they choose. That experiment it continues to blossom here in the United States, and we find great peace in countries that are following our example. There are countries around the world that never thought it would work, that now they are doing it in their own constitutions over the last two centuries, and we want to continue to press that. We don't end up at war with countries that have religious liberty, because they end up having peace in their own country and peace with their neighbors.
I think that's an extremely important point that we cannot make enough, and I've talked about that many times on the program here, that there's a reason that we would promote it is because it does bring about greater social stability, economic stability in a country, making it much less likely that that's going to be a country we have to square off with militarily.
Right. Yeah, if you have greater economic ability, obviously that's a better trading partner for us economically. If you have greater stability within the country and less conflict, we don't end up at war with them or in the region. And quite frankly, just a basic human dignity. We have all understood, and in fact that's part of the International Religious Freedom Act, is understanding that it is a human right and a human fundamental freedom for individuals to be able to choose their own faith. So we want to just be able to have that as a basic human right. We're passionate people, and we're compassionate people, and basic compassion says don't force someone to believe something they do not believe. That's never going to work, and it'll only lead to conflict.
Well, and Senator Lankford, this is not like this is just something that the United States has come up with. I mean, this goes back to the 1948 Universal Declaration of Human Rights from the United Nations, of which the United States was a driver of. But right. In that, it states that religious freedom is a key freedom, the ability to choose one's religion or not to choose one, to change it or whatever. And that is really the principle that we work on. This is not forcing a brand of religion. It's not trying to Christianize the world, but it is to open the door for people to be able to share their faith, live their faith. And of course, it starts at home. We saw that neglected in the last 8 years. And of course, as a result, it was neglected in our foreign policy. Are you hopeful now, especially in light of yesterday, even having the ambassador at large in Turkey for the hearing of Pastor Brunson, are you optimistic that America is going to return to this focus on religious freedom?
I am, obviously. And it is an area that you have brought up multiple times that I do want to reiterate to people. We are our best example when we're actually living it out ourselves. When other countries see us limiting religion, they would say, aha, see, I told you, you need to be able to limit religion. When we actually demonstrate what we say we believe and actually live out those principles, we can then go be able to push that in other areas. There are many countries around the world that have in their constitution religious liberty, but they actually have blasphemy laws in their country where they prohibit people from changing religion, and they keep people into a certain system of belief or to be able to lock them in. That's not freedom of religion. So when we live it and we allow people to be able to practice their faith here of whatever that faith may be or to choose to have no faith, we then have a better platform to be able to push that around the world. And in countries like Turkey that you've mentioned, Turkey, for the past several decades, has been a place where it has allowed religious liberty and has allowed that kind of freedom. And now there's a major transition happening in Turkey where they're clamping down on people that disagree with them, either politically or their faith. And they're putting people in prison like Andrew Brunson simply because he has a faith that they want to be able to challenge and trying to lock him away. That's what's happening in Russia with a Jehovah's Witness. That's what we're seeing in Iraq. That's what we're seeing in Turkey. That's what we're seeing in areas in India. This is the world going the wrong direction. As the United States was going the wrong direction for 8 years, the world is following that. We need to be able to make sure we're going the right way to be able to help protect people.
And I know you were in Turkey about a year ago, and this is a passion of yours, the issue of religious freedom. Do you see this affecting the long-term relationship with Turkey? Turkey, a NATO ally, but it's hard to be allies with nations that reject such fundamental human freedoms.
It is, actually. And again, Turkey has been a NATO ally. They've been a close partner in the region. We have a lot of economic ties to them. But you look at Turkey 3 years ago versus Turkey now, and you see the dramatic difference. I discourage people from going to do business in Turkey or vacationing or doing tourist actions in Turkey now, because we have an individual like Andrew Brunson who had no crime, who was just swept up and has trumped up charges, and he's been in prison for 18 months. I would never want to have a situation where I'm an employer that I don't know if my employees are going to just be swept up on trumped up charges simply because they choose to do it that day. So it's a very destabilizing situation. And again, the difficulty is, if you talk to Turks a few years ago, they were very proud of the openness of their country and how they honored religious liberty, and they had great diversity there, and they saw themselves as a secular democracy. And that has changed pretty dramatically in the last few years.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host. Glad to have you with us. My guest is a senator from the state of Oklahoma, James Lankford. Senator, we've traveled together to Israel. That's where we are right now. And Israel being one of those few countries in the Middle East that truly respects religious freedom here. And within this country, you have a great diversity of religions and participation in those religions. But there's some other changes that are taking place, and I think Egypt holds some promise for Muslim-dominated countries to begin embracing a form of religious freedom, certainly not what we would fully appreciate in the United States. But there is some movement, and I think America has a role to play in this, and the International Religious Freedom Act is a key part of that.
It is, actually. And Ambassador Sam Brownback, as he travels around the world helping promote this basic human dignity, what he's actually doing is trying to lift up the people of those countries. So I'd say we're not asking you to be Americans or to be in a government situation or a political environment like America, but let's all agree that we should honor the individual rights of each person. Whether you're talking about Thomas Jefferson and talking about trying to compel someone to be able to act contrary to their own faith or to be able to compel them into a certain faith, that violates just basic human dignity. So the work that Sam Brownback has as he travels around the world and works with the region is extremely important. And you and I have been in Israel together. I wish I was back with you there right now again, but I'm stuck in Washington, D.C. rather than enjoying all the things that are in Israel there. But for Israel in particular, they have protected religious liberty, and they allow Muslims, they allow Jews, they allow Christians, they allow Yazidis, they allow a wide variety of faiths to be able to flourish in religious liberty in Israel. And just north of them in Lebanon, they have constitutional protections to try to protect various faiths that are there, but they continue to struggle as a government to be able to honor all groups of faith and to make sure everyone is protected. But it's important in the region to be able to see that spread into Egypt, into Jordan, into other areas, where people can just honor that basic human right.
And the more America provides leadership and drawing attention to this, to saying this is important, it's a priority for us, I think the more these countries will embrace it as well.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.